It's right here on K1, the one you trust. We got a room full of masked banditos. I mean, masked people, I guess. Mike Bailey and crew, I should say. We've got a lot of folks. We're trying to social distance, doing the best we can. Got the plexiglass up and everything else. You guys are masked. Everything's ready to go. Yeah. What's on the agenda today?
Good morning, Tom. Yeah, we have a whole room full of us here. So we there was
scattered.
Yeah, to the best of our ability, anyway.
Yeah.
So good morning to you
and to everyone.
Had a glorious weekend. If you don't mind blistering temperatures,
no.
If you do mind blistering temperatures, it was probably less glorious. Mm. I spent most of it inside, so it was
like a good Oklahoman should.
That's right. That's right. Soaking up the AC. So Michael wasn't quite so lucky. I don't know what Terry did, but. Well, he doesn't even remember what he did.
Does Chief Rolls know what he did?
Chief Rolls, now I will tell you, Chief Rolls does know what he did on Friday night. And wanted to take a minute and thank everybody who participated. There was actually a prayer event at the police department Friday night that was extremely well attended. Apparently there was over 100 citizens who showed up to pray for the police officers and had a great event. There were a number of churches and a number of people in attendance. We wanted to thank Trish Packard. She helped to coordinate the event. I know that Tracy's wife was also involved in this, and there were several local pastors. Of course, Brian Schneckschneider is the chaplain. And yes, I do think I said that right. If you all checked and looked around to see, yes, I think I said that right. Brian has an interesting name. He knows that. But Brian is a great guy and was a big part of this. So just wanted to take a moment and thank everybody who was involved in that. And now is can be a difficult time to be a police officer in our nation. Bartlesville is very different. We are the officers here enjoy a tremendous amount of support, and we're very thankful to our community for that. It really does help us to retain our officers and to recruit good officers, which of course makes for a better department. So just wanted to start out by thanking everyone who was involved in that, and can't thank them enough. Also wanted to thank the Fraternal Order of Police. So last Monday we had a council meeting? Yeah, it was. Kind of lose track of time anymore. Things are a little odd. Last Monday we had a council meeting, and on that council meeting we had a contract with the Fraternal Order of Police, the FOP. This is a very weird time to negotiate a contract because, of course, we're dealing with very uncertain times. As we came into this fiscal year, COVID was still going on. We really weren't sure what the economic effects were going to be, still aren't sure. So what we proposed to both the fire department union and the police unions was that we just carry over last year's contract until January. And at that point in time, we would be willing to negotiate wages if the economy was doing better than we thought. Wanted to take a moment to thank the FOP for that. They were extremely easy to work with. They truly understood the situation that we were in, and I think that this puts us in a great position to be very flexible, and if things go well, then we will certainly be revisiting that with them halfway through the year, because we would love to grant wage increases during this year, but we just have to make sure that it's fiscally the right thing to do. So, but they really were very easy to work with this year, and it was odd. Even our negotiations were odd because we didn't do a lot of in person negotiations. A lot of that was virtual as well. A lot of it was done through email. So, very challenging year, but they've been extremely helpful as we worked through that. So, and that really is a majority of the sort of the general news. We wanted to spend most of the program today talking about an election that'll be coming up. That's two weeks away, right? So 2 weeks away on Tuesday, which would be August 25th, there is an election that was originally called for April of this year. And of course, everything got a little weird in April, and the election board asked everybody to push their elections to a later date. The city of Bartlesville chose August 25th. And so this is something that I feel like we've been talking about it for a year, because honestly we have, because we weren't able to have that election date. But Terry has been the city's educator on this. He's been out and about in the public. We also have Micah Seemers and Lisa Beeman here, because they both have projects that are involved in this election. The three of them were here 2 weeks ago, and I think you all talked about the GO bond election. And at the same time as the GO bond election, there will be a sales tax election for capital improvements. So they're going to talk quite a bit about that, but we do have probably ought to, since I've got Terry here, I'll take advantage of this. We've got a couple other things we should probably mention. Water storage agreement. When we talk about something that we have talked about for absolutely forever, last Monday, we actually had the water storage agreement with Corps of Engineers for water on Copan was approved by the City Council. So this was a very, very long process. It certainly predates Terry and I. We've been aware of it for a long time, but in fact, I think the committee that was involved in this was formed before I ever joined the City of Bartlesville. So Terry, if you could tell everybody just a little bit about it, and don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but because I know we've talked about it before.
Yes.
Several times.
Yes, we have. But it really, the genesis was back in 2001 with the extended drought that we had, and it revealed some vulnerabilities that we have in the long-term viability of Gila Lake for our primary water supply. And so we did a number of studies and worked through a number of organizations, mainly on the federal level through the Corps of Engineers. But ultimately, they found the most cost-effective option was to go to Copan Lake and to secure the water storage available at that lake. So back in 2008, we started that process with the Corps. And I won't go through all the nitty-gritty details, but
there's a lot.
But 12 years later, we are finally able to secure the pricing that we felt was economical for the citizens, because that's who ultimately pays that cost. And so we were able to secure that 2,500 acre feet. So that's roughly about 1 million gallons of water a day with the Corps, and Council approved that agreement last Monday night. So once we get everything through the Corps to get officially signed, then we'll pay the money for it, and then we'll have the ability to use that water for a long-term source that's going to help us continue to grow and provide that necessary resource in the future.
It's been a long time coming, and as I said, it certainly predates me, and there are way too many people to thank, and if we attempted, I'm sure we would miss many of them, but it was one of the biggest key players, of course, was Senator Inhofe, who actually worked on the legislation that allowed this to happen. So wanted to thank him. There are many, many others, including every mayor since over the last nearly 20 years has been deeply involved in this, including Julie Daniels, who's a senator. We've had some lobbyists that have worked along the way, every city manager since then. It's been a laundry list. And of course, your predecessor, who's no longer with us, unfortunately, Mike didn't get to see this come to fruition. He worked on it for a number of years, but I'm sure we forgot somebody. But we're grateful to everybody who's been involved in that. Now, Terry, one of the other questions that comes up about water is the fire hydrant testing that we do, and it's usually not a question so much as sort of a confusion about why we do it. A lot of people think that we do the flushing of the fire hydrants to try to clarify dirty water. In reality, when we test the fire hydrants and when we flush those lines, it can actually cause that dirty water. So it's a little bit backwards. We're doing that for multiple purposes, but one of them is not necessarily to clarify the water. In fact, it causes it to be dirty temporarily.
Yeah, it does. Really, the main purpose is just to check all the hydrants, make sure they're in working order. To discover a hydrant is out of order or has a defect during an emergency is not the right time to do so.
Not a good time
to figure out that hydrant doesn't work or there's a problem there. So we do that on an annual basis. It takes us roughly 3 months to go through. We flush in the neighborhood of about 6,000 hydrants over the course of that flushing. So we do every hydrant that the City of Bartlesville owns. And so it does, or it can create some dirty water, because when you flush a hydrant, you run the hydrant, it increases the velocities in the pipe, and it can scour the pipe and dislodge any sediment or anything that may be within it. So we try to do that to make sure, obviously, the hydrant's working, but really to run it until the water clears up again. But if you do notice dirty water, and we're in your area flushing, so to give us a call. But right now, we're south of No Water Road, between Price and 75 is kind of the zone that we're flushing currently. And so if you're in that zone and you've noticed dirty water, when you come home from work or just during the day, just call us. We'll come out. We'll flush some more to ensure that that water clears up. But it's the sediment or the cloudiness isn't harmful to you. Right. It's really more of what's called a biofilm that develops inside the pipe, and it can get dislodged with those increased velocities. So it's inert. It's safe. It's just more of a nuisance and somewhat of a concern because we're used to clear water, which is what we expect. That's our goal. But we'll come out and clear the water up and get that addressed. So if you're south of No Water Road between Price and 75, we're going to be in your area flushing for the next week, and then we'll move west of 75 and continue throughout the city.
Terry, I almost forgot when we were talking about water issues that the council took up last week. One of the other things that they did was to approve applying for an Oklahoma Water Resources Board loan for our wastewater reuse project. And this one, again, is something that it's been going on for many years.
It has, and really we had the opportunity starting in 2012 when the state was experiencing another drought, really down in the Oklahoma City area, but state legislature approved a 20 for 60 law. And so the goal is to consume no more fresh water in 2060 as they do in 2012. So really what that boiled down to is water reuse became a potential water source for the state of Oklahoma. And so we have a unique setup in that our wastewater plant is located pretty close to the original water intake there within the Johnstone Park, just east of the Kitty Park. Yep. And so we've been working really since that time to investigate the safety of it, the feasibility of a water reuse and the concepts that you take treated wastewater, and instead of releasing it in the Caney River where we currently do that, we would pump it upstream within the Caney River, let it blend with the river, and then re-grab it or take it up again and treat it at the water plant and send it to distribution. So we've done a number of studies looking at the feasibility, the environmental issues with it. And one of the interesting facts that we found is that wastewater that we discharge is cleaner than the water that's in the river itself that we use for drinking purposes. So by moving that discharge upstream on the Caney River, we're actually improving the water quality of the Caney River, making it easier to treat. We have provisions in place that's going to take care of what's called the compounds of emerging concern. So these are all the trace pharmaceuticals and industrial products that are in the waste stream. And so we feel very confident about this plan moving forward. And so we've actually gone through the engineering design of it, and we're just at the doorstep of moving toward construction. So one of the last pieces was to secure financing from the OWDA, Oklahoma Water Resources Board, which they will consider that here in August 18th. And assuming that's approved, then we will probably move to construction within the next 60 to 90 days.
And that was an $8 million project, 30-year term on the note, and what was the rate?
1.61%, I believe, is what it boiled down to.
So. Pretty phenomenal.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
We were very pleased with that. So this is sort of a companion piece along with the Copan water supply, and this, we anticipate this will provide us with sufficient water supply for Bartlesville for how many years?
At least 50. If water trends continue as far as consumption, it could go well beyond that. So
we are suddenly in very good shape.
Very, very much so. And if you have any questions or want to dive in more about the water reuse scenario, we do have all the studies posted online at the city's website, www.cityofbartlesville.org. So you can go through there and see all the technical information that has accompanied that we've looked at. Or if you have any questions, feel free to give me a call at 918-338-4116.
All right. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate those updates. Those are always critical issues. And now we'll move on to sort of the meat of the program, which will be the election that we discussed earlier. So this will be a sales tax election. The other one that we've already discussed was a geo bond election. The geo bond election will have four questions, which will be each of those categories as far as public safety, buildings and equipment, and then I think we had parks and rec, and streets and bridges were our four categories. The sales tax is a little bit different in that it's just a single vote. It's only one question. It's a yes or a no for the sales tax. But just like the geo bond, we've identified the projects that will be paid for using that CIP sales tax. And also, just like the GO bond, this is a renewal. So this isn't anything new. This is something that the citizens of Bartlesville have approved in the past. And so we are asking them to approve it again as a continuation. So Terry, you want to take over?
So we've really structured the sales tax side of it similar to the general obligation bonds. And both of these are really renewals. And really the theme of the whole project is a renewal, refresh, improving of existing facilities that we currently own and operate. But two of the components that I'll talk about are the public safety and then the buildings and maintenance. Public safety, again, the renewals at one of the main items, or what we're calling the designated project, is to continue to replace the vehicles, the emergency vehicles, over the 8 years, or 8 vehicles per year. So that's the patrol cars and the equipment that is associated with it. They're also looking to enhance the body-worn cameras so that every officer is equipped with a body-worn camera. And so if those projects come in as we anticipate for the financial side of it, then we'll use the remainder of the funds for the public safety for continue a taser lease that is currently underway, as well as replacing chairs and different components within the dispatch area and the computers and the uninterruptible power supply component within that. So the overall public safety component of sales tax is $2.3 million. And then shifting over to the municipal building side of it, again, it's on the similar theme as far as replacing and refreshing what we have. The main project within the municipal building and equipment is to replace the trucks that are used by what we call the general fund component. So that's street, community development, engineering, parks, those departments that are funded through the through your sales tax from an operational perspective. And so then the other big project is the City Hall roof repair to replace the roof on top of City Hall. And then if those projects come in as anticipated, then the balance of the funds are going to be used for technology upgrades, for server workstation, and various components on the IT side within city, as well as replacing mowers, the speaker system in the community center, the cooling tower at City Hall, and then carpet replacement within City Hall as well. So, again, the genesis or really the theme of these projects is to refresh and to redo what we have specifically on the public safety and the municipal billing side. And then we'll have Micah talk a little bit about the street component, and then Lisa's going to wrap us up with the parks.
All right, appreciate it, Terry. So we'll talk about streets, bridges, and drainage improvements. And really, we threw the bridges in there because that was, again, trying to match what was in the general obligation bond. There's no bridge components in the sales tax portion of this. Really, the way we've geared this on streets is that we've lumped the what we call preventative maintenance street projects into the sales tax. So the GO bond got really projects that were already identified, street segments that were identified and were going to be more of a rebuild type scenario. We gear sales tax, since it's recurring every year and we know what we're going to get close at least every year in funding. So for this five-year period, we target streets that we will select each year. And so council selects those each year. They select those based upon recommendations from the Street and Traffic Committee. And those recommendations by the Street and Traffic Committee really stem from, you know, citizen inquiries and complaints, street department, what they see on a regular basis because they do the maintenance of our streets, and then also engineering staff. So we all three of those groups per se. Look at the different streets in town, look at the condition of them, and we select streets each year. Then we provide that information to estimates for it to Street and Traffic Committee, and then they ultimately select the project. So we're actually going through that right now for this current fiscal year. We should be doing that later this week with that group. So that's kind of how we gear that. So again, we've got really the priority project or the 70% project for streets, bridges, and drainage for sales tax is going to be $4.5 million worth of preventative maintenance street projects, and this will be over a five-year period. assuming that we can do those projects for those funds, and if the funds allow, then we do have some discretionary projects. There's an additional $500,000 for preventative maintenance street projects. You'll notice if you add those up, that's $5 million. We try to target about $1 million a year for preventative maintenance street projects. Over the last seven-year period, we did $750,000 a year. We're bumping that up. Again, things get more expensive each year. So we're looking at $1 million a year for preventative maintenance street projects. Then again, we've got $100,000 also to update our pavement condition model and a street sign assessment. So again, kind of going back to how we select these projects, we do have some software that's basically, it's a model that models a deterioration of streets based on their age, based on the type of material, based on their initial condition. Whenever we basically hired a crew to come out and drive the streets, and they essentially assess the condition of them. And so we can't update that each year and run the model, but really about periodically, about every 5 to 6 years, you're supposed to update that and drive the streets again. So we've got $100,000 in there for that. And as part of that, we're looking into assessing our street sign, condition, the number of signs, and our inventory there. So we'll include that as well for $100,000 for that total package. And then we've got a couple of drainage projects. We've got the Choctaw drainage for $250,000. This is over by Kane Elementary School by the bus barn area. It's an open channel system now. There's a couple of culverts that are really in poor condition, primarily one that goes underneath Choctaw. And so this will be to rehabilitate that system. And then we've got $25,000 a year over 5 years for $125,000 for drainage materials. So this is for our street department through Public Works. They're the ones that maintain our drainage system through town. And so this will be materials for them to put into projects each year to do in-house. So,
and of course, we have a lot of drainage that it's hidden, of course, to the public.
It is, right.
But it frequently crosses under streets or it goes through yards. And we've had some projects recently. A lot of our drainage was constructed over 30 years ago, was constructed with what's called corrugated metal pipe.
Right.
Which is subject to corrosion.
Which has a shelf life.
So, yeah, that's right. And so, unfortunately, a lot of it is about the same age, so we're starting to experience some more and more failures in certain areas. So this will hopefully help us to address that, because we do make those repairs and those sorts of reconstructions internally, but it'll provide us with a source of funds for the actual materials.
Yeah, but we really haven't had that before. We do have some stormwater funds that we can use, but this will be more of a recurring thing each year, and which will be a good thing for us. So so that really wraps up the streets, bridges, and drainage improvements. Again, we got about $5.5 million planned for that. And with that, I'll turn it over to Lisa to go over the fun stuff.
Okay, and as we all know, the guys like to save the best for last, so parks and recreation, Bartlesville's finest. So in the CIP sales tax election, we have $2.6 million proposed for improvements to Bartlesville's Parks and Recreation. They are the 70% projects, or the priority projects, which come in at $1.5 million, and I'll go through those briefly. We would like to continue the improvements we began about 6 years ago to refresh the trees, the plantings, the streetlights, and the irrigation system in the downtown landscape. Improvements. Those improvements are now 30 years old, so we have $800,000 in that to continue refreshing and improving those landscape areas. Again, Pathfinder and Parkway, very, very important to the community. We always have to continually put money in there to maintain and repair it. We have $257,000 proposed for that out of the CIP sales tax. Sooner Pool, built in 1979. It's now over 40 years old. It is a concrete pool that has an epoxy liner, and so we need to do some serious work on that epoxy liner, doing repair and or replacement of it. We have $200,000 in there for that. We would like to do some improvements to the gravel parking lots at our Tunoff softball field and at MJ Lee Lake. So you know the great big parking lot at MJ Lee Lake, which is by the soccer fields. That's a huge big gravel parking lot. That is one that we really need to go ahead and reconfigure and asphalt that and put in parking spaces and lighting and things like that, as well as the Artunoff softball field. That's $160,000. Improvements to Douglas Park parking lot again on the west side of the park, $50,000, and adding a basketball court at Oak Park in the Oak Park neighborhood at Eddie Mason Park. That's $100,000. And then the 30% projects. These are the things we would do once we do the 70%. We, again, have a pool, Frontier Pool. It was built in 2010, and it has an epoxy liner. We need to do some repairs to that. That's $100,000. We would like to extend Pathfinder Parkway into Oak Park. We would do that running along Sunset Boulevard, extending the Pathfinder through there and adding a pedestrian bridge. That's $400,000. We'd like to do some improvements at Adams Golf Course, including a roof replacement over the north end of the pro shop and fixing the irrigation control system. That's $51,000. And then finally, we would like to make some major repairs and replacements of some of the facilities we have at our parks, playgrounds, and pools. That might be things like water fountains, picnic tables, benches, shade structures at the pool, as well as adding security lighting and increasing the number of security lights in the parks, and that comes to $510,000. So together, between those two different sets of projects, we have about $2.6 million that we're looking at in parks and recreation.
Thank you, Lisa.
Wow.
Appreciate that. That was our lightning round, but I appreciate all of you all showing up today and helping to remind citizens of what's included in this. And so one last time, that'll be August 25th. It is that'll be a Tuesday. In-person absentee voting will be available Thursday and Friday. Since it's not a national election, there will be no in-person on Saturday. So you can vote Thursday, Friday, or that Tuesday. And again, this will be five questions for them involving a GO bond. One of them involving CIP sales tax. And if you have questions, feel free to call 338-4282, and Elaine will get you to the right person. We'll be glad to help you out.
And we have the sample ballot at bartlesvilleradio.com, so if you want to take a look-see on that, you can go in and feel pretty confident about what you're doing. Gentlemen and ladies, thank you very much. That is City Matters on K1, the one you trust.